Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Brighten up your home with help from Menards. Illuminate your home with LED light bulbs from Fight Electric. They provide light that lasts with a rated life of over 10,000 hours. Don't wait to finish your projects. Save big money on Fight Electric LED light bulbs now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to Strikeout Bros. What's good, Lash?
What's going on, man? We can't believe we're going in the division round, and it's amazing how fast, wild card. Almost every single game went through games, except for the Dodgers and Reds, which was kind of expected just because the Dodgers just got in there. The Reds got in there just because, it's basically two teams stumbled at the end, and the Mets stumbled.
Well, hold on. There's an elephant in the room, and let me address it, okay? You're not allowed to talk about this right now, okay? So this is what happened.
It's traumatizing.
Okay? How are you going to try to, sneak that in there, the two teams, where, Lasha, let me explain something to you. So we were trash, all right? We played a good first half, trash second half, right? And we ended up playing the Reds six times, and out of those six times, they beat us four. So even if we would have ended up tied with them, we wouldn't be making the playoffs. So on the last day, on day 162, we needed to win the game. They needed to lose. And, of course, they lost. And you know what we did? We couldn't even score a run. Yeah, I think it's time for a change. You know what? I'm not even upset. My dad states the same. He says that a team like that doesn't belong in a playoff, situation. And what were they going to show us? How trash they were, A little bit more of that trash that they were, dropping on the fans all season long after the second half. Like, get out of here. This team doesn't deserve a playoff run. Even though I think they would have done really well in a playoff situation. See what happened to Cincinnati? They had to play the Dodgers right away. I mean, the Mets would have played them a lot better, I think, in my opinion. But we're not going to talk about the Mets for now. I have a little couple of things I want to say about what they're doing and how they're moving forward. But let's talk about, I just finished talking about how the Dodgers annihilated Cincinnati, took them right out. That was a 2 out of 3 series, right?
Yeah, Cincinnati. Yeah, Dodgers, 2 out of 3. So they had some fight in the, I think it was the third game, the Reds, but the pitching is just not as good as the Dodgers, and the offense is just not as good.
They got outscored, too. They got outscored in the first game, 10-5, and then in the second game, they lost 8-4. And that was it right there. They didn't win a game. Cincinnati didn't win a game.
No, they didn't.
And, so, I goes to show you. And it's crazy because you would think that, San Diego, the other team, that what happened,
Yeah, they struggled in the first game in that Chicago series, and then they had a good second game, and then the third, everyone wants to blame the umps and the strikes and blah, blah, blah. No, you just didn't put up the offense that you needed to. And Chicago has a really good bullpen. Surprisingly, they got a lot of pieces, and offense for the Padres just couldn't do much when they needed to, and they choked it away. And you know, it's a crazy thing that like 2 weeks left of the season, they were in contention for, you know, maybe winning the National League West, but they Dodgers ended up winning, so they got the first, they got the wild card spot, and they got the second wild card spot because Cubs obviously were the home team, and they just, you know, I thought they had a chance in the watching the second. I was, oh, they're like, they're coming in live. They look good. They can do this. No, they just couldn't do it. And it's crazy because they have a lot of good pieces, the Padres, man. They have a lot of good pieces.
Yeah, I think they will go somewhere.
They made the most trades in the post, in the, at the trade deadline, you know, adding Mason Miller, the closer, and adding Ryan O'Hearn and Laureano, players from Baltimore, you know, hitters. Machado was doing great for them.
Yeah, but I know what it was. You know what it was? I'm going to tell you right now.
What do you think?
It was you. Because, you know, it was you. You know why? Because you're an Atlanta fan. Look what happened to Atlanta. Exactly. Look what happened to Baltimore. Look what happens to any team we root for. They say, oh, you know what? If my teams can't make it, I'm going to run for, you know, I'm going to go for the Padres. And look what happened. They get knocked right out. You know what I'm saying? You should be, you know, Yankee fan. Yo, listen, I'm. That's the situation right there. And then Cleveland, another team that I thought was gonna go places. You know what I'm saying? Because they were on a run.
Me too.
They got shut down real quick. They went home. You know what I'm saying? These teams that, you know, whatever, they get a shot to run, and then they can't make it happen. It's okay. There's next year, but it's going fast for me. You know, I want it to go fast because I want to see what we're gonna do to try to make this team a little better. I'm really upset at what happened, but I saw it happening, and I kind of knew we weren't going to make it, but that was me. Everybody else was optimistic. I definitely wasn't. I shut it down a while ago. I already knew it was coming. We couldn't finish, man. It's crazy. We were doing this for a while. It wasn't like it happened overnight. It was something that we saw happening, and it kept getting worse, and then it finally... It happened. We collapsed. Completely collapsed.
I know. Nobody likes to make excuses about injuries, but I don't care what anybody says. When you lose 4 out of your 5 starters within the first 2 months of the season, or you get guys back halfway into the season, like Senga, and expect them to be back on what he was when his first year with them, it's just kind of crazy. He needed more runway to get himself back to where he was. And it just didn't work out. That's why I think Senga struggled. It's not they rushed him back. It just he came back when he was ready, you know. And so yeah. And then so what you're doing with the problem is now you gotta make a makeshift rotation with pieces, you know, fill-ins or guys, or do what we've been doing, which is you just have, you know, a guy from like a Clay Holmes or somebody pitch 4 innings and then bring in the bullpen and just make it like a bullpen game, you know? And you can't do that. And then what happens is your replacement starters can't go enough. So it forces you taxing the bullpen. And that's why the bullpen got slammed so hard. Out of everybody in that bullpen, Diaz was the most consistent. You know, he was not
trash.
But the bullpen was the biggest, you know, besides him, I would think he was the least of the problems, you know. Because
everybody talks about the pitching, but what happened to the hitting?
But the offense too, man. It's especially when you pay that much money to, Alonzo, Lindors. You know, it's crazy because you'd be like, why are y'all complaining? If you look at statistically, all the numbers statistically, they have, from a statistic standpoint, they had a good season. But we don't. That's not how baseball is judged. We're judged on, okay, did it help your team get to the playoffs? And the problem is, no two guys were hot at the same time, and that's what they needed. There would be times where just Soto's hot, or there would be a time where just Nimmo was hot, or McNeil was hot, or Alvarez. It was always in spurts. It was never one time where all three guys clicked. Even or the bottom of the the bottom of the lineup, and that was the killer too. The bottom of the lineup was non-existent at times, you know.
The whole ball club was non-existent.
Yeah, so They definitely gonna make changes at coaching as far as not the manager. They gotta keep Mendoza. I know there's
It's that goes to show you that they're like, we have our puppet. We're gonna keep him there. He has a year left. We're not gonna worry about that now. We'll worry about that next year. But now the guys that are actually hands on with these players, the hitting coaches, and you know. The pitching coaches, the guys that are tweaking your shit on a daily basis and telling you, do this, do that. Those are the guys that are hands-on, right? Because the manager, you know, he sets up the lineup and he does things here and there, but he's not a true manager like back in the day. So let's keep it real. He's a puppet. We'll keep him for one more year. Exactly. So keep him there for one more year. What's the point of bringing in another puppet? Now, the other guys, the hands-on guys, yeah, those guys that needed to go, all right? So now we have to start fresh from there. So they did something, all right? They started fresh there, all right? Because everybody left. One guy retired, and the other guys got tossed, which is good. Now, we'll see what happens moving forward. Obviously, we have a lot of things we have to address. You know, we still have Clay Holmes on the payroll. We have Sean Manaea on the payroll, and we have Senga on the payroll. Right, so we have those three, and then we have the three guys, the three puppies that came up: Tong, McLean, and Spro. Right, so now, you have those six guys. You can start a six-man rotation there, or you get rid of what you don't like. You know what I'm saying? So now you send Clay Holmes to the bullpen, and then you figure out what you're gonna do with the rest of the rotation. It doesn't look good right now. Those young kids, yeah, they'll figure it out eventually. But if you want to go for a run next year. That's not the rotation. That's not it.
No, you need an ace on that team. And thought Senga was the ace.
But he's not it.
He's regressed. I think the injury has to factor into it. Maybe a full offseason to recover might get his form back. Who knows?
But so you're right. You need a true ace. You need a true ace. You're 100% right. So you get rid of. So you're saying Holmes to the bullpen.
Like a Dylan Cease, even though he had a terrible year in San Diego, he'd be good on the Mets. You need someone like that or. A Corbin Burns type. I don't know who's free agent right now. I don't have that top of my head.
Yeah, we have to look. That doesn't matter. It could be a trade because we have so much stuff to get rid of.
You have good prospects coming up.
Not even that, man. We have to get rid of McNeil. You know, everybody's saying, oh, he's a great, you know, defensive guy because he can play a lot of positions and he can play off the bench, but you can't start this guy. All right, you're playing him off the bench and he's there to plug holes when people get hurt or need a day of rest. Yes. Keep McNeil on because he's getting older now and you just need to play him off the bench and have him plug in the holes when needed. That's what you use him for. He's not supposed to be starting a game. You know what I'm saying? I don't believe in that anymore. You know, I don't think he can help the team win anything, you know, that way. He can do it in the little ways, but this is not
a situation. McNeil's a good off the bench player.
He has to be. That's what he has to be.
On the bench. You know, you need to give somebody, if you get a second baseman free agency, you need to give somebody a day off. You can plug him in and heal's a good. Or if someone gets hurt for like a couple of weeks, 15 days, a DL stint, McNeil can hold his weight until, you know, that guy comes back. And then the other, who was really consistent in the first half, who struggled down the stretch was Brandon Nimmo, man. He's I always say the lunch pail guy.
I want to get rid of him though. I'm still not getting rid of him.
I would never give rid of him.
The rumor is Vientos is leaving, so I see they like Beatty a lot more. I would get rid of Beatty. I would get rid of Beatty. Yeah, I would get rid of Beatty. Get rid of McNeil if you have to, and I would get rid of Manaea and Senga. I would definitely get rid of both of them if I could. You know what I'm saying?
Nobody's gonna take Manaea. He's had a horrible. He's been worse than. At least Senga has excuse. What is Manaea's excuse? He just fell apart. I don't know.
You know, He came in late.
But you can say Senga came in late into the year, but that's because of injuries. So whether he came in late due to injuries or just, you know, added late to the roster. But either way.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I think it's... I think it's a mistake. I would let go of Beatty and keep Vientos. He's shown more promise at third base than Beatty
and
has.
Then, yeah, and if you're going to get a true DH, then get him. But, you know, I would leave Acuna on there as well, but I would let Acuna play second base on the daily. I would make maybe Mauricio the DH. If you're not going to pick up Schwarber's, you know, contract and whatever he's going to make, because he's going to make some money. People are going to overpay for him. So we're going to have to overpay to get him. And he did hit 100, you know, 50 home runs. So, like, why wouldn't you overpay for that? Because everybody overpays. So that's another player that's going to get his money. Age doesn't matter this time around. Because if you keep him as a DH, you can keep him young.
You know? Yeah, and then, well, here's the thing. Now that the new question becomes now is, what's the desire? What is Alonso's desire to come back now that they fell apart at the end? Is that will and desire still there?
Of course it is. Because of course it is. Now he knows that, you know, he wants to be there. He knows that we're close. He doesn't understand what happened because nobody understands what happened. You know what I'm saying? Like, how could a team completely fall apart like that? That makes no sense to anyone. Now, he's going to want to come back. Now, the question is, how much money is he going to, you know, desire? Because he's going to put up a crazy number up there, and somebody will pick him up, you know what I'm saying? Because great numbers, you know. These are guys, Schwarber and him. Imagine one team with both, you know. That's pretty crazy. And with what we already have, I think that would definitely change the lineup around, you know what I'm saying? I think just need to figure out who are, you know, our number, you know, our day ones are, and who's going to be consistent at that position on a daily basis, because we didn't have that this year. So we need that. I don't know. Pitching, it's going to be interesting. I want to see what Stearns is going to do. It's going to be really interesting. It's going to be hard to figure out how to manage a rotation that has serious problems. And you have youth there, so you can't, you know, fuck up the development and say, oh, you guys can sit down there for the rest of the year next year. You know what I'm saying? You have to bring them up. You have to, you know, let them mature. And this is how they're going to do it, by playing real baseball. So you have to play them.
So I think so out of a five-man rotation, Tong, McLean, and Sprout, those are going to be your 3, 4, 5 starters. Most likely.
Unfortunately. But McLean looks like he can be an actual ace.
He could be. So with that being said, in reality, you only need to go after 2 starting pitchers, which is better than...
Yeah, but you already have Sean Manaya under contract, and you have Senga. So what do? You just can't sit them, or you got to get rid of them.
No, you eat the money and you let them go.
Yeah,
you
hell no.
Eat the money.
You crazy? Senga's contract is going up to like 28. It goes up to like 2028, and Manaya has 2 more. He had a 3-year contract from the Mets, man. So he's gonna be there for a while. You just can't throw money away. You gave Siri his money. You sent them packing before the season ended. You get rid of all those prospects for nothing, because Helsley, whatever, he's gone. You know what I'm saying? You gave Shelton Mullins is gone. Rogers is gone. So, you know, like, what are we doing here, you know? Like, it's crazy. It doesn't make any sense. Detroit just tied it in the bottom of the 8th. You know, and they tied it. That's what I can tell you. It's 2-2.
2-2. Polanco hit 2 home runs in that game or so far. So that's good.
But, yeah, man, like, this is crazy. Like, I don't know what you're going to do. You can't just keep swallowing money. You know what I'm saying? Like, something
well,
has
I'll
to give.
I'll tell you this. In my opinion, you're more likely to get something back for Senga than Manaya. Manaya is older than Senga, and so that's a good sign. Will you get top-tier prospects? Probably not. The problem with Manaya is that money. No one's going to eat that money. So even if you trade the top-tier prospects.
Send with money.
You're going to have to say, all right, so let's say the contract is $40 million total. The Mets would have to, you know, at least $30 million of that 40. Or
that's a lot. That's too much. That's too much.
Not 30 million, but let's say they have to.
I know, just an example.
30. Let's say it's, all right, 30
half?
Million, 15.
Half?
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot, bro.
But they're not going to do that if their goal is to sign Schwarber and Alonso. But we don't know if they're going to sign Schwarber. We don't know if Schwarber wants to leave Philadelphia. Who knows? Philadelphia just got
yeah.
the playoffs.
Yeah, but let's see if they win. Then they'll dismantle it. They won't even bother. They won't even bother, bro. I'm telling you right now. If they win it all, they know the team is old and they're going to start fresh. They won with that team. They're happy. You know what I'm saying? They had good runs with that team. That team went places. But that team needs to get dismantled at this point.
Yeah, maybe.
For sure. If they win a championship this year, if they're able to get past the Dodgers, they can definitely win it all. If they can get past the Dodgers, then I don't really see anything stopping them. And if they win a championship, they are not going after Schwarber. They're going to dismantle, and they're going to fucking go young. I'm telling you right now. The whole division is going young.
You know what I think would be good on the Mets? I know it just for like a one-year deal type of thing, or I try to go after Nolan Arenado from St. Louis. You know what I mean? And have him as your third baseman just to give you a one-year, see how he does for 1 year.
No, we have too many problems. We have too many third base problems. We need to find one of those kids. If you let go of Vientos and
Mauricio, then...
No, you can't do that. You can't get rid of the future. We have to figure out where they fit, you know? That's the problem. That's why we didn't really play well. We have to figure out where they fit best, you know? So you can't get rid of the problem. We have to get rid of one of them for sure because we can't have all four of them. All four of them fighting for slots to play in, you know what I'm saying? So you have two second basemen and two third basemen. You have Beatty and Vientos, and you have Acuna and Mauricio. All right, so you have to figure out who's playing second and who's playing third, and then go from there. And then if you don't get a DH, if you go after Schwarber, you can't get him, then that kind of opens up a situation for you. But you have to make sure this kid is going to hit, though, you know? If he doesn't hit, then you have a problem again because then you have a pointless at-bat, you know?
See, I think the other mistake Mendoza made was not just consistently playing Vientos when he came back. You should just left him in and stop flip-flopping. Just let him build up his confidence. Let him build up his consistency and get into a repertoire. But, you know, you leave him in for four games and you take him out. And for why? Just leave the guy in there, you know? You know, I would have left him in there over Beatty. Who cares about Beatty? He can come off for a day.
I mean, they didn't do that. I mean, at this point, you know, they're saying, oh, we need a center fielder. But we can easily make Mauricio a center fielder because, you know, he has the legs. He's got the
speed.
He has the speed, you know what I'm saying? So,
and he's got a bat.
And that's going to be a bat for you right there, you know what I'm saying? And that's better than anything else I can think of right now at the moment. But you have time to develop him as a center fielder. He's still young. And if you can get him, you know, daily at bats, he's going to become that player. I believe so. I just need him in there every day. And if you're going to make him a center fielder, I think that works, you know? With Soto in right and Nimmo in left, Mauricio in center, I think he can patrol. And I think he can make up for the, you know, for the lack of defense that Soto has on the right side. Because I think he can make it over there if he has to. You know what I'm saying? Because he's long. He's a fast dude. So that would work for me. But you have to do that now. You know? But we'll see what happens. What else you want to talk about, brother? What else we got going on the plate?
So now we're in the division series. We have the Yankees versus the Blue Jays, Tigers versus Mariners, and then you have the Dodgers and Phillies, and Chicago and Milwaukee.
Yes, sir.
And the Yankees look like they're in trouble, man.
Do you think so? They're down 2-0.
I don't think so because, you know, baseball is rigged. They're not going to allow the Yankees to get swept. A big city like New York to just get completely whitewashed.
Well, come on.
I could see them winning game two.
They went to the World Series last year. You know, it's time to switch it up. I said, if that's the case, that's not true because that's not what the league was doing. So if we're talking about the Secret Society League that we all saw, where we saw all the good teams flop in the middle of the season and we saw the bad teams turn it around and go for a run. So this way, everything was kind of even. If you look at the standings, everything kind of like turned out pretty even. Everything was a race towards like the last week of baseball. So everything meant something. So this is the type of season that the MLB had this year, right? So now they're telling me that they don't want to switch it up and they don't want to show these low budget teams or teams that spend mad money because, you know, Boston spent a lot of money. Look what happened to them. The Yankees beat them. You know what I'm saying? This is a team that the Yankees put together after they were unable to re-sign Soto. You know what I'm saying? So this is what happened, right? So now we can't allow that, right? So now you have Boston is out of it. You have the New York Yankees. That's a big ball club, right? Detroit had a great season and then they fell apart at the end there. So,
yeah, that one's the most interesting one because we were all like, oh man, Detroit is falling apart. They lost a 14-15 game lead in the division, lost the division, and had to play Seattle. I had to play Cleveland in Cleveland for the three-game wild card, and they won. They did really well. The pitching came through when they needed to, especially the last game of the season or last game of the series. Mize had just a lights-out game for Detroit, and he just shut down Cleveland's offense. And then they won yesterday against Seattle in the first game that went into overtime. And it's just surprising because you know I was like, oh, Detroit's gonna get kicked out of the playoffs early, just because when you're on a losing streak like that, it just catches up to you,
Yeah, that's up to the Mets. But like I said, if they would have made the playoffs, I had a feeling that they would make go for a crazy run, and I think they had the potential to pull that off, but they just couldn't make it. But Detroit's a better team than the Yankees. I feel like the Toronto Blue Jays came out of nowhere. You know, they actually said last year, you know what, we're going to keep our superstar. We're going to pay for him. They pay big money for him. And I didn't think this season was going to go anywhere for them. And look what they ended up doing. You never know. They can probably, look, they've outscored the Yankees 23-8 in these last two games. 23-8. They're telling me the Yankees are going to pull it off. They're not going to pull anything off. They're going to get swept.
I don't think they're going to get swept.
They're going to get swept.
In New York, you know how bad that's going to look?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where it happens. It doesn't matter.
I underestimated Toronto. Let's start with that. Everyone underestimated Toronto because
your whole division
they fall.
Yeah. I mean, your whole division underrated because Boston, I thought they were going to pull it, just go crazy from the beginning. They figured it out. They went on some good runs and they were able to play competitive baseball. To get knocked out by the Yankees, I didn't like that at all. I was hoping Boston would be able to, go after them and say, you know what, we want this. But those three teams definitely, they showed me something this year.
No, they fought those three teams. In that game three for the Yankees, that guy was lights out. And the Yankees probably didn't predict that a rookie, Cam Schlittler, was going to have a lights out game for them in a must win game in the playoffs. So that was a blessing that they were not expected.
Yeah.
And the Red Sox didn't expect that either. And especially after Garrett Crochet, the first game that he played in that first series, the first game of that series, man, he was lights out. He's like, oh man, Red Sox, they might just beat the Yankees, take 2 out of 3, no problem.
No problem.
Just starting rotation. But
exactly,
it was the other way around. The Yankees rotation and the Yankees, they won because they didn't make a lot of errors. Judge didn't do much. He did enough. He had a couple of doubles and things like that, but he didn't have a lights out series, and that's what the Yankees are hoping for. But that's what it is. That's the good thing. That's the thing about the wild card is you have to put all your chips in the middle of the table, and you have to. Everyone has to be lights out no matter what.
Listen, I like that Seattle team too. That Seattle team is spunky, bro. I like that team all around. I was watching them play the other day, and I'm like, holy shit, they really have a squad. That team could definitely take out the Yankees. I'm sorry, man. There's a lot of teams on this card here that I believe are better than the Yankees, and I don't think the Yankees are going to make the World Series again. Nah. Detroit, Seattle, Toronto, Seattle team, that's going to be interesting. I don't care for the Yankees in that one.
Seattle has a surprisingly good rotation, and their bullpen is really good. So I could see. And their offense is good. Polanco's playing well. Cal Raleigh, Rodriguez hit a home run yesterday. So that helped a lot.
Nah, I really think it's not the Yankees. In the National, I'm a Philly fan in the National. I ain't going to lie to you. I don't like Milwaukee. I don't like Chicago. I like Philly. Let's see what happens. So a nice little Philly, Seattle, Philly, Detroit. I'm cool with that. Even Philly, Toronto. I don't care. But I don't want the Dodgers in there, and I don't want the Yankees in there. Those are the only two teams I don't want in there that I want eliminated right away. Everybody else, you can stay and play. But those two teams need to go.
I want the Yankees out and the Dodgers out. The Phillies are the most exciting team because everything that they traded for, all the guys they traded for, they've been clicking on. They hit on every single trade they made, and they've been lights out. Bader, Duran, man, that's They literally solved one problem by getting that closer because they've always had a closer issue in Philadelphia, and he's been lights out. And if the offense comes through with Schwarber and Harper and JT Realmuto, those guys can get hot offensively. Yeah. They had the pitching staff to make it. I think they're riding the coattails of their pitching staff. And they see the thing about the Phillies is they know if their starters struggle, let's just say in the first four innings, they have no problem going to a bullpen because they trust their bullpen more than they trust their starting rotation. You know what I mean? And their bullpen hasn't been taxed for the most part. You know what I mean?
It's been pretty good rotation. That's why
they have a pretty good rotation. They have to go eat five innings. You know, average. You know, in baseball nowadays, the average innings they want a starter to go is four and a half, five innings at best.
That's bullshit.
Less?
No, I think it's bullshit.
And it's BS, but that's what, you know, everyone says, you know, third time around that they, you know, analytics freak things out, you know, make people freak out, and then it makes the manager not be able to, takes away the manager's feeling, go with his gut and say, you know what, I'm going to leave this guy in here because he's doing well. It's like the Yankees when Aaron Boone got criticized in game two for taking out the starter, Rodon, he was lights out, and they took him out, and the bullpen came in and, you know, messed up game two, you know. And then guess what he did the next day? He left the guy in, and it paid off. So it's just like you're damned if you do it, you're damned if you're not. But, you know, I hate that baseball is, you know, the game is decided on numbers before the game is even played. It drives me crazy because feelings and momentums are you can't write that on paper. That's just that happens as the game goes on.
Yeah, but if 98% of the time, you know, analytically, they're right about what's going to happen to the pitcher, he's going to get lit up in the fourth, fifth inning, then, you know, you want to win a baseball game and it's an important one, like a playoff one, you know, you gotta kind of roll with that. Because if I know that, you know, Lasha in the fifth inning, when we look at Lasha's fifth inning for the whole year, for the whole season, Lasha's fifth innings, he's been hit. That's where from the fifth to the seventh, Lasha gets hit pretty much. You know what I'm saying? There's an average of six hits.
His average jumps, the ERA jumps up.
Yeah, so we can't.
1.2 to like 2 point something. That's a big
difference. We're not going to have that. We're not going to have that. Knowing that kind of information, you know, you want to win a championship, you're not going to allow that.
You're not going to risk it.
You're not going to risk it, bro. I don't care if you say you feel good. I don't care. You know? You have to, you know, it's not. This is a big corporation, a big machine. You know what I'm saying? We don't care how you feel. We don't care. We pay you to come and perform. You did your part. Now we feel like after this part right here, you're not gonna succeed anymore. So we're gonna get you out of here. We're gonna keep you fresh. You know, think about it.
Yeah. So I broke down the numbers for the Yankees versus Toronto in their regular season matchup. So in 13 games, Toronto went 8-5. Scoring 70 runs in those 13 games and allowing 59 runs. Okay. That batting average, they hit an average of 263 average, whereas the Yankees had an average of 236.
Uh-huh.
So almost 30 points more. And then the average runs a game, you know, Toronto scored an average of 5.4 runs a game against the Yankees, whereas the Yankees scored an average of 4.5 runs.
Mm-hmm.
A game, you know. So those, you know, since baseball is about analytics and numbers,
it makes sense. I feel a sweep coming.
Yeah, to go 8-5, that's pretty dominant, and to have an ERA 30 points higher than the Yankees, when you think about the Blue Jays, the big number one star that everyone circles. You know, the one that, you know, I say the one that you got to put a check, you know, one you got to circle, hey, this is the guy I'm worried about the most, is Vladimir Guerrero. All the other guys, I can work around these because I can attack Bo Bichette. I can attack, you know, Anthony Santander, who's had a mediocre year considering the fact where he had a better year last year in Baltimore. But either way, you can attack the other guys on that team. But the things with what carried Toronto this year was their starting rotation. You know, Gausman, Barrios, and some other guys, they had a really good rotation. And it just shows you how pitching is so important, in more so in the playoffs, because good pitching shuts down great offenses. And that's what's happening right now in New York in this series against the Yankees. They just, you know, what's crazy about today's game? Max Fried was their best. Max Fried is the best ace in this series because, you know, they don't have Gerrit Cole, and he's the best pitcher between the two teams. And he got lit up for 7 innings. And that's very surprising because in his time with Atlanta, he had good postseason records. You know, he had good postseason numbers. So I don't know what happened today. He just got the jitters or something, but he just got lit up like a Christmas tree today. He gave up 7 runs, and they had no choice. And they had to go to the bullpen early, you know? And so now it's like, crap. Now in a do-or-die situation on Tuesday, so they're going to be forced to, that whoever starts, whether it's Schlittler or whoever the other guy is that's going to start, or Rodon, I think it's going to be Carlos Rodon, he's going to have to pitch at least 6-7 innings at best if they want to have a chance, or else it's over. If that guy doesn't pitch at least 6 innings, Rodon, they're done. And it's just baffling how the team like the Yankees, just, you know, who has a really good offensive players, man, Chisholm, they got all these guys that are, you know, Judge, Stanton, you know, so on and so on, Volpe, you know, good. They're all good offensive players from an offensive standpoint, and they're just striking out, trying too hard, or hitting into double plays, or, you know, at least in this game, I don't know about today's game, but the Yankees didn't lose because of, you know, mistakes. You know, that was the biggest problem in the regular season. They led the league, I think, or close to, with the most errors during games. And so that has, you know, that's why they were able to win that Red Sox series. They were flawless. They didn't have a lot of mistakes. And if the Yankees don't miss mistakes and they pitch well, they could go far.
Yeah, it sounds like say it. Every owner's fucking dream. Yeah, sure.
But that's not going to happen. And today, Toronto took advantage of the Yankees' mistakes, and the mistakes came from the starting staff, from your true ace, Max Fried. So, like,
I'm going to sleep well.
No, I'm happy. Trust me. You know, I hate Toronto less. You know, Toronto's like Baltimore. You know, you kind of feel sorry for them because they're never there. And if they do get there, it's a surprise. And when they get there, it's like, oh, wow, what a feel-good story. Toronto finally made it. You know, despite, you know, was it 2016? I think this is the last time they made it. You know, when they play the Rangers and stuff. So to see someone knock off, and then it's more pressure on, Yankees have the most pressure of anybody in the playoffs right now because they have the most, you know, they're the second tier, highest tier with the most amount of money. And, you know, offensively, if you look at it offensively, they technically got better with adding Seager and Goldschmidt and all these other guys that they added in replacement.
Of course.
In replacement of Soto. So technically on paper they were better.
That makes sense. You know, you put a whole bunch of stars that, you know, together, and you expect certain things to happen. So what's next on the agenda, bro?
So the next one is I broke down the Detroit Tigers and the Seattle Mariners.
I like Seattle. I like Detroit. I like both teams. You know what? But I think Seattle has a better shot because they, you know, towards the end of the season, they were still playing really good baseball. I like the squad they have over there. And, you know, they have Randy. They have, you know, Rodriguez. They have a nice little squad over there. I like them. And I, like I said, any one of those teams can beat the Yankees.
Yeah, well, Detroit, they got a good little rotation with Schoolball, Casey Mize, Jack Flaherty. You know, they've been trying to fill in a bullpen guy, Troy Melton, to come in and do a start, but he didn't do so well. So I think they might just put him back in the bullpen where he was more effective. And, you know, where Seattle, they're, you know, they got George Kirby with Luis Castillo. So, those are their starters. So I think Detroit has a better, if you look on paper, they have a better starting rotation. You know, when you have a true ace in Schoolball, that's going to help, you know, So I guess you could say Kirby's the Seattle's Mariners ace. But in that, so I broke down that series. So in the six games this year, Seattle and Detroit, Seattle went 4-2 in that series, scoring 45 runs and giving up 29 runs.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there you go. Runs, like I said. And batting average, Tigers had a the batting average is only off by 2 points. So the Mariners had an average of 268, whereas the Mariners had an average of 266. You know, average runs per game, Mariners scored 7.5 runs a game, whereas the Tigers scored 4.8.
Well, yeah, but that's a lot. The game.
Yeah, no. It's so it just shows that, now granted, they always say you gotta throw out the record books because the season doesn't matter, but it kinda does matter because it just shows you how the teams fare against each other. And it's pretty safe to say the Mariners had played the Tigers really well. So it was not a surprise that they won yesterday, even though it went to extra innings, you know, even though Seattle's been the hottest team so far going into the playoffs. But, yeah.
Listen, for me, it doesn't matter. I need to figure out what's going to happen to my team. But it is exciting. Like I said, Philly all the way for this one. I like them. They don't bother me. I hate the fans. I don't mind the players. I don't mind what they've done over there. They're a great ball club, and we aspire to be like them.
So here's the interesting numbers. I broke down the Phillies Dodgers games too, stats.
I want to hear that. I definitely want to hear that.
So the Phillies went 4-2. Now this is a really cool stat. The run differential is 1. So Dodgers scored 28 runs, whereas the Phillies scored 27. Now here's a drastic change that just blows my mind. So the Dodgers batting average against the Phillies was a 240, whereas the Phillies average against the Dodgers in those six games was 170.
Holy shit.
How the heck does that? But meanwhile,
clutch hitting.
The Phillies won for clutch hitting and pitching, you know, so they probably won close games, you know. You know, if the run differential is, you know, it's what, 4 or 5 runs a game average per team. So it was really, really close. So this is a great series because even though these teams play each other 6 times, you would think that they know each other really well. Like the way, you know, the Dodgers, the way the Phillies know the Dodgers, where the Phillies know the Braves, or where the Dodgers know the Padres as well.
Division.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But because you only play them 6 times, so you got to take advantage of it because it's going to determine where you seed for, you know, if you're the 1 seed or 2 seed. So that makes a big difference. But that it just blows my mind. How is it that the Phillies had a 170 batting average, but they won 4 games? You know what I mean? And scoring.
Yeah, because that clutch hitting, you can imagine, think about it, right? So you're down the whole game, and then you're losing by 2. You get that man on second, and then you need that hit. That hit comes. You know how many times I expected a hit like that to come for the Mets this year, and it never came? You know how many men we left stranded on base? Like, that's what I'm talking about. When you have a team that, you know, all around, when you look at the lineup, you say, damn, can this guy get the hit? We need a hit right now. Yeah, they get the hit. That's how you beat big teams like that. You wear them out. But you get the hits when they count.
Yeah, that's true. Take advantage of, you know, the one thing I noticed about the Dodgers this year is that, you know, down the stretch, their team, they get bored. You know, it's like if you try on
steak.
You think
so? I know what you're saying.
You
try
on steak, you get bored, and you're just like, all right, I'm not going to try hard because I don't want to hurt my, you know, to risk my guys. So they just like kind of take it easy. That's why if you look, they lost to the Pirates and so on. Or at least 2 out of 3 to Baltimore. Because they're like, we're already in the playoffs. It's like, why are we going to try
hard? Personal stats, man. Listen, I would have a serious problem being that kind of guy. I'm not going to just go out there and whiff a couple, you know, just because I'm tired. I'm still working on my numbers, especially, you know, I want my numbers to look good. And I want to represent. I'm getting paid a lot of money to go out there and play hard every day. I'll play hard every day, bro. You can't lose series to chump teams that didn't spend any money because we're supposed to overpower them. You know what I'm saying? You let these teams beat you because you played down to their level. You're like, whatever. It's the Atlanta, you know, whatever. They're trash. We got them. Nah, they get you. And at the end of the season, you're like, damn, we needed that win, you know?
Yeah. So let me ask you a question. In all these series, right, which series would you want to see go five games, and which series would you want to say, I just want to be over with so we can go get to see a better series, you know?
Listen, right now, I want the Philly series to go by pretty fast. They're down one already. And yeah, like you said, run differential was 2 runs, you know, 5-3. So I'm praying that they can come back and tie the series up. You know, I don't want the series to go as, you know, that long, but I want the Phillies to be able to pull it off. So basically, I'm asking the Phillies to win 3 games in a row. That's not going to happen. Not against the Dodgers.
Well, they had the lead yesterday and they blew it. That's the thing, you know, in yesterday's game, they came out on fire, and then Shohei came out and just shut him down, and then they just couldn't come back.
Listen, like I said, I'm not a fan of Milwaukee. I don't really care for them. It's funny how they prevailed and they were able to.
They beat the crap out of Chicago, though. I don't know what crazy happened. I don't know if it's the jitters or not enough.
Milwaukee's been there all year, bro.
Milwaukee after they had more rest.
Yeah, they figured it out, bro. They figured it out, and they wouldn't stop. They haven't stopped. So I don't care for either one of those teams now. I'll become a fan right away. If the Dodgers beat the Phillies, then obviously I'm a fan of whoever wins that other series. But I don't want the Dodgers in the World Series, bro.
So I go based on excitement, right? So in American League, the series that excites me the most, and I'm really going to sit and watch every single game if I'm not working, is Detroit and Seattle, because those are two power teams. They have really good pitching staff, and their offenses are both elite, and they can hurt each other. That's the series I want to see in five. Yankee series, I want to see Yankees lose 3 games because I hate their guts. Their fans are nauseating. They make me sick. They always cry like babies because they never understand true suffering. So for that, I want to see them lose. In the National League, the series I want to see go 5 games is Philadelphia and the Dodgers, because I think this is the best matchup between the two best elite teams who have really good rotations and good offenses. And I think this is the only time in this division series where you're going to see two powerhouses. I think the Dodgers can overtake Milwaukee, or if it was Chicago, if they had to play Chicago, whoever it is. I think this is the best matchup. In the Chicago-Milwaukee series, you know, I don't see it going 5 games, but I could see it going 4 games. You know, Milwaukee wins, you know, 3 games to, you know, whatever it is. No, wait, is it 5? No, you got to win 2 games. So, yeah. So, you know, 2 games to, yeah, you got to win 2 games, right? In the, no, 3 games. You got to win 3 games. So, yeah, there could be 3-1 in the division. So, I see Milwaukee could win that series.
Yeah, yeah.
And Chicago, you know, Chicago won because San Diego kind of shot themselves in the foot in that last game. You know, just, you know, it's not, you know, not, you know, give guys standing at the plate not swinging at balls right down the middle, or, you know, everyone wants to blame bad calls, but there's just some pitches where he should have swung and he just stood there. I was like, what are you doing? You know, and for the for the Cubs, the guy that the Cubs are relying on to have a big series is PCA, and he hasn't been doing much. I grant it's his first year truly in the playoffs, so, you know, this is new territory, new waters for him, but he's gonna have to have a big series to carry that team. Swanson's all right, but he's had a good season, but he hasn't had the season that he has had in the past. Like his first year with Chicago, was the last year he went there. You know, so I think Milwaukee, Chicago, I could see that going either way. I don't know about 5 games, but that Dodgers and Phillies series, because I'll tell you this, whoever makes it through that series and comes out, because it's gonna be tussle and fight and a lot of wear and tear. Whoever can survive that series, I think is gonna be able to make it to the World Series. And same thing with Detroit and Seattle. Whoever can survive that series and come out on top, because it's gonna go back and forth. Look at today's game. Seattle took a 2-0 lead, two home runs by Polanco, boom. Now they just tied it back up. You know what I mean? I don't have the score in front of me, but you know what I mean?
It's gonna Seattle won 3-2.
It's over?
It's over. Okay.
So look at that. Series tied. That's going five games. Look at that. So that's a, I want to see, I look at games where I want to see two series where two guys are going to be like boxers in a fight. They're going to brawl out the whole 12 rounds, and it's going to come to a decision. And that's what I like about baseball. And that's the type of series I see with Phillies and Dodgers and Detroit and Seattle. The other two, it could go either way. And I wouldn't be surprised if Milwaukee makes it. I wouldn't be surprised if Chicago makes it. You know, I would be surprised if Toronto makes it, because the Yankees are, they're the more well-known, reputable team to go far in the playoffs, considering the fact they went to World Series last year. So you know what the storyline's going to be in New York if they lose? Man, they should have never let go of Soto, blah, 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 blah.
Nah.
That's what they're going to say.
Nah. Listen, they made they made the playoffs. They just weren't better, you know?
Yeah.
That's all.
So I came up with a trivia question.
Really?
Strictly playoff question.
Oh, shit. Here we go.
So I didn't include the notes. I apologize. Anyway, which pitcher was the only pitcher to throw a perfect game in the World Series history?
Wow. That sounds crazy. The only pitcher to do that in a World Series. This is crazy. I'm not even going to guess. I can't even guess, bro. You got me on that one. Talk to me. It's going to be something like 1930s, something crazy, something that nobody knows, bro. What year was that, bro?
So the guy, the answer is Don Larson.
Don Larson, wow. Yeah. When was that, bro? That was in the 30s?
No, it wasn't in the 30s. Probably like in the...
What you mean probably? You don't know when that happened?
No, because he was born in 1929.
Okay, so obviously it didn't happen in the 30s, Lash.
So about like... He played from 1953 to 67.
So somewhere in between there. He did that? Okay.
Yeah. That's crazy.
So you don't have... Okay. So you don't know what team he played on when he did that? What the score was? And you don't have any of the information? What's going on over there? You don't have a trivia question. You have a puzzle that we have to figure out on our own because you just came blanks. What's going on? So you don't know what team he played on. You don't know what year he did it in. You don't know what the score was at, or whether or not they won the World Series. But it's okay, though. Maybe next time. But we've come to the end of the show, and we're going to catch you on the next one. It's going to be exciting. Let's go Phillies, I guess.
So I have the answer. So it happened in October 8th, 1956, when he was playing for the New York Yankees against the Brooklyn Dodgers in Game 5.
Okay, sounds good. I like that. You redeemed yourself.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Because in those times, those pitchers pitched a lot of innings. There was no...
Of course they did.
Those guys pitched 7 innings, and there was no taking them out.
They got into it. Yeah, they got into it.
So that's pretty crazy. 1956, that seems like wounds ago. I wasn't born. You and I were not born.
I was 20 years out.
Yeah,
when he did that,
1950. Wow.
Yeah, 20 years out before that, I came.
He retired 27 batters, striking out 7 in a 2-0 victory.
2-0 victory. Look at that. All the information.
So it was a close. Yeah. So it was a pitching lights out pitching.
That's crazy. That's an amazing feat.
See, you'll never see that in today's game because pitchers, they don't allow pitchers.
Nah, you don't see that. Hell no. Nah, they're not gonna risk anything like that. But on that note, Mr. Larson. That was amazing, but we'll catch you in the next one. Let's go Phillies. And don't tell me who you're rooting for, because whoever they're rooting for, you already know to put the money on the other team, because whoever you root for, goodbye.
I'm rooting for the Yankees to lose.
I love it. I like
that. Anybody but the Yankees. How about that?
I like
that. Just like you're saying, anybody but the Phillies.
Exactly. Peace.
Bluetooth disconnected.